Black Jack Palmer, and the tenor of Fran Ludwig. And from the top of the stack, Jumpin' at the Woodside, Count Basie's classic with Count's piano, the alto of Earl Warren, the trumpet of Buck Clayton, Lester Young's tenor, and on the out chorus, the clarinet of Herschel Evans. The best of the swing era bands. To take us to the bottom of the hour, here's Benny Goodman and his orchestra. There is absolutely no question about it. You are listening to The Swing Era. I'm your host, Bud Pearson, and I would welcome any comments or requests. Email us. Our address is swingera@earthlink.net. That's swingera@earthlink.net. Back to The Swing Era now, and more Best of the Swing Era Band. On the swing era from February 1942, Johnny Hodges' alto, Lawrence Brown's trombone, and Ray Nance's trumpet. Put them all together and it's Duke Ellington's orchestra with his composition and arrangement of Someone, featuring also the modern string bass line of Jimmy Blanton. And leading off, a swinger by Tommy Dorsey's October 1940 band, also known as the Boilermakers. They ran down Cy Oliver's chart of Swing High with solos by T.D.'s trombone, Ziggy Elman's trumpet, the clarinet of Heine Bew, the tenor of Dom Lotus, and Buddy Rich's drums. And you heard it on the Swing Era. The Best of the Swing Era Bands on the Swing Era, a rare hidden gem by Benny Carter and his band, Just Up. The title was The Shuffle Bug Shuffle, recorded in Liederkranz Hall, New York City, the great recording venue, in November 1939. And we heard the alto of Benny, the trumpet of Bill Coleman, along with Sonny White's piano. The Shuffle Bug Shuffle. And before that, the clarinet and orchestra of Artie Shaw, defining Stardust as the swing-era ballad on his October 1940 recording, which, of course, featured the classic opening chorus by Billy Butterfield's trumpet, followed by Artie's finest solo, and then Jack Jenny's very difficult trombone solo. Wow, it had classic written all over it. And starting off this set, Glenn Miller's orchestra with Jerry Gray's composition and arrangement of A String of Pearls, recorded in November 1941. It featured the alto sax, this time, of Tex Beneke, followed by a tenor chase with Al Klink and Babe Russin. And not to forget Bobby Hackett's Cast in Stone cornet solo.
The rhythm moving. Yes, we're gonna groove, and is everybody sticking? Oh, kick it on out. Pick the nearest partner. When you're finished picking, ask her if she's sticking? Oh, kick it on out. When the band begins to rock, and you feel that certain shock, listen for the drummer's sock, and then together, everyone get ready to way up in the ceiling, till you get that feeling. You know you're sticking, you're kicking it out. Thank you.
On the last set, another best of the swing era bands, that was Fletcher Henderson with his September 1934 band with Happy As the Day Is Long. We heard the trombone of Claude Jones, the tenor sax of Ben Webster, and Red Allen's trumpet with a Benny Carter arrangement. And prior to that, the Erskine Hawkins Orchestra with Midnight Stroll from April 1940, with solos by Erskine Hawkins trumpet and the tenor of Julian Dash, a composition and arrangement by Sammy Lowe. And kicking off the last set, Gene Krupa and his orchestra with his June 1941 disc, featuring, of course, Anita O'Day singing Kick It. I'll bet they had a lot of fun on the dance floor with that one. Also featured the unmistakable trumpet of Roy Eldridge and Gene's drums. The best of the swing era bands on the swing era. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you, Jan Savitt, for helping us out. So much music and so little time. This is Bud Pearson, hoping you've enjoyed the best of the swing era bands on the swing era today. If you did, join us here when we'll present more music by the artists who created the styles and the sounds of the swing era. We'll see you then, and remember, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing.
KCEA Atherton Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District, home of the Sequoia High School Ravens, a California distinguished school.
Our imagination, a comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear, a look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll spend some time with one of America's favorite sleuths, Ellery Queen. But first, let's spend some time with one of America's favorite comedians, Lucille Ball, in My Favorite Husband. My Favorite Husband was Ball's first regular radio program, premiering on CBS in July of 1948. Co-starring Lee Bowman and thereafter Richard Denning, the two played Liz and George Cooper. Miss Ball was a zany housewife she would perfect just a few years later on the TV show I Love Lucy. Her husband George's partner in crime was his boss, the short-fused banker Rudolph Atterbury. Gail Gordon played Atterbury with his usual sarcasm. Bea Benaderet was his wife Iris. The show produced by Jess Oppenheimer and written by Bob Carroll Jr. and Madeline Pugh, all three of which went on to I Love Lucy fame. The show continued on Saturdays during 1950 and 51 season when Lucy then made the jump to television. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Lucille Ball starring in My Favorite Husband and an episode that will seem quite familiar from I Love Lucy, The Broken TV, from June of 1949. Another classic radio moment from the archives of yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on Jack Armstrong, Bert and Marge, Amos and Andy. Radio, I miss you so.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball. Yes, it's the Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it.
As we look in on the Coopers tonight, we find them in the living room. George's annual vacation comes up soon, and they're discussing the last-minute details of the trip they have planned.
George, I have a surprise for you. I'm all packed.
Packed? Already? Our vacation doesn't start for 2 days.
I'm being sensible this year. No last-minute packing.
Well, I hope you don't try to
take... Stop! I know what you're going to say. We're only going to be gone a week, so you don't have to take everything you own. Well, I just packed the bare essentials.
Good.
I managed to squeeze everything into 5 suitcases.
5 suitcases? For 2 people?
No, for 1 people. I haven't packed your stuff yet.
Oh, great.
Oh, I just can't wait for you to see my new bathing suit, George.
You didn't buy one of those scanty ones, did you? One of those strapless suits?
No.
Oh, that's a relief.
Mine is more of a suitless strap.
Take it right back to the store, Liz. Any woman who would wear one of those suits is crazy.
It's strange how you men like to go to the beach and watch the lunatics.
Well, that's different. Now, Liz, I don't want to...
All right. I'll take it back to the store and get one that has sleeves and bloomers.
Well, even that would look better.
Thank you, Max Sennett. George, don't you trust my judgment? I bought a very conservative suit. You'll see when we get up there.
All right.
Now, let's see. I'll pack your clothes tomorrow.
Yeah, what in? You've used all the suitcases.
Well, I'll figure out something.
Yeah, just wrap them in a bandana. I'll carry them on a stick over my shoulder.
I'll make room, nature boy. Now, let's see. What else do I have to do? Leave a note for the milkman. Stop the paper. Oh, did you get Joe Ridgely to water the lawn while we're away?
No, darn it. He can't do it.
Well, who can we get? It'll be ruined if we let it go.
How about one of the neighbors?
George, I'm ashamed to admit it, but we don't know any of our neighbors well enough to ask them a favor.
What about the Stones right next door? You've met her, haven't you?
Oh, I see her once in a while. When I'm hanging my laundry out to dry and she's lighting her incinerator.
Well, maybe it's a good idea not to get mixed up with the neighbors. Would only lead to trouble.
Oh, I don't think we get into trouble being friends with Frank and Mary Stone.
Frank and Mary? How do you know their first names?
Well, the mailman delivered a postcard here by mistake.
Liz, you didn't read it, did you?
Just the address.
You didn't look at the message?
Of course not.
Are you sure?
Certainly I'm sure. What's it to me if Mrs. Stone's mother had a lumbago attack at Lake Tahoe?
Oh, Liz, I'm disappointed.
So was I. I didn't learn a thing. Come on, George. Let's go and ask the Stones if they'll water our lawn while we're gone, huh?
No, let's let sleeping dogs lie, Liz.
Now, don't be like that. Come on, you want to be a good neighbor, don't you? It's a decent thing to do. And besides, I've always wanted to see what the inside of her house looked like.
Frank, why are you looking out the window?
I'm watching the Coopers, Mary. They're acting so odd.
What are they doing?
Well, they've been standing in front of our house for 5 minutes. She keeps pulling him toward the front door, and he keeps pulling back.
That's funny.
Yeah, they're awfully old to be playing tug-of-war. Uh-oh, she must have won. They're coming up the walk. You didn't do anything silly like asking them over, did you?
Now, Frank, they're coming over, so let's be nice to them. We should have made friends a long time ago.
Yeah, Mary, getting friendly with neighbors only leads...
Shh, they're on the porch.
Trapped.
Now, hush. I'll let them in.
Hello, Mrs. Stone. I hope you don't mind our dropping in like this.
Oh, look, Frank. It's the Cooper.
Well.
Oh, no. Surprise, surprise.
Come in.
You know, we've meant to come and see you ever since the first week you moved in, but something always came up.
And we understand.
We have been shamefully long in welcoming you to the neighborhood. How long have you lived here now?
7 years.
Well, it's high time we got acquainted. Living next door all that time, we don't know a thing about you, do we, George? Well, George, just don't stand there. Say something.
Huh? Oh, how's your mother's lumbago?
I had to open your big mouth. The mailman left a postcard at our house by mistake one day.
Yeah.
Would you like to watch television?
Oh, do you have a television set?
Yes, I guess everybody in town has one. What kind did you buy, Cooper?
Well, we don't have one yet.
You don't?
What?
Oh, we don't miss it. I crawl in the Bendix and sing, and George watches me through the little window.
I'd like to see your set, Stone. I've been thinking of buying one.
Oh, well, it's right in the next room. Come on.
My, your television screen is a big one. What program is that on now?
I haven't turned it on yet. You're looking out the window. Wait till this set warms up. You'll really see something. Ah, there you are. Is that a picture?
I was just going to ask you.
Wait till I adjust it. There. Isn't that the clearest picture you ever saw?
Well, I can't tell. Why don't those two guys get out of the way?
They're wrestling.
Oh.
Say, this isn't bad. Just like being at ringside.
Oh, who wants to watch wrestling?
Yes, put something else on, Frank.
Okay, I'll try Channel 8.
Hey, there's another wrestling match.
Oh, goody.
Let's take a look at Channel 12.
Oh, dear, they're wrestling on that station, too.
Don't they have any programs the women like?
Well, I'll try Channel 13. Oh, there's a show you girls should like.
Well, this is more like it. Lady wrestlers.
They have programs besides wrestling, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh?
Yeah, sometimes they have boxing and baseball.
Goody dipped in pickle juice.
Uh-oh, the picture's distorted. There's something wrong. It's never done this before.
You better turn it off, Frank.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll have him come look at it tomorrow.
Oh, it probably just needs a little adjustment. Why don't we look at it now?
George, get that I can fix it look out of your eye.
Now, don't worry, Liz.
Frank, if you value that set, don't let George touch it. He doesn't know a thing about electricity.
Oh, so your wife's the same as mine, eh, George? Why don't the women give us credit for knowing something?
Yeah, I don't know why you talk like that, Liz. I fixed our toaster, didn't I? The one that was popping the toast up too hard?
Yes, you fixed it. It doesn't pop the toast up anymore. It leaves the toast on the table and jumps away from it.
Oh, come on, George. Let's take a look at this thing.
Frank, let a repairman do it.
Yeah, honey, why should I pay a repairman to ruin this set when I can do it for nothing? Come on, George boy.
Okay, Frank, old man.
Merry old girl, call the power company and tell them to stand by for a blackout.
Quiet, Liz. How'll we start, Frank?
Well, let's get into the back of the set and see where the trouble is.
Okay. Here's a screwdriver.
You're good. You unscrew that screw where it says caution, extremely high voltages. I'll unscrew this one where it says the back of this set should be removed by a qualified television repairman only.
And so we say aloha to the television set.
There we are. The back's off.
Let's see. Just as I thought.
What?
Lots of wires in there.
Dad, what deduction?
Now, Frank, you stand in back of the set, and I'll watch the screen and tell you what to adjust.
Okay.
Now, I'll just turn the set on so we can see what results we're getting.
Mary, are you sure Frank's insurance is paid up?
I wish you wouldn't do that, Frank.
Yes, dear. How are we doing, George?
Jiggle that wire on the left.
How's that?
No, jiggle the one on the right.
There. Anything happening?
No. Jiggle them both at the same time. Take a wire in each hand.
Okay, how's...
Ha!
hello, to Frank Stone.
He's gone. There's nothing there but his glasses.
Frank, where are you?
I'm up here on the chandelier.
You aren't either. Where are you?
I'm out in the hall.
Well, what's the big idea, Frank? Why'd you run out when George almost had it working?
Had it? Look at that set. Ruined. What am I supposed to do with this box of burned wreckage?
Yeah, if I were you, I'd take it to a qualified television repairman.
This is all your fault, George Cooper, you silly numbskull.
Don't you call George a silly numbskull, you stupid baboon.
Don't you call her a stupid baboon, you meddlesome busybody.
Don't you call her a meddlesome busybody, you big jerk.
Should we go around again?
This would happen if we got mixed up with some nosy neighbors. Now, you get out of here.
Don't worry, we're going. Come on, Liz. I hope you're satisfied, you and your good neighbor policy.
You're going to court for this, Cooper. I'm suing you for the price of my television set.
Some people never appreciate. I try to help him save a few bucks on a repair bill, and he sues me.
Oh, darn it. Wait a minute, George. We forgot something.
Well, what do you want now?
We forgot to ask you. We're going on a vacation this week, and we wondered if you'd water our grass while we're gone.
What?
It's the next morning, and Liz is worried over Mr. Stone's threat to sue George for ruining his television set. They're talking it over at breakfast.
Oh, I'm worried, George. We've never been sued before.
Well, let it be a lesson to you not to get mixed up with the neighbors. And don't worry, that big bag of wind isn't going to sue us.
Well, that's not what Mrs. Stone told Katie.
What do you mean?
That big bag of wind is suing us for $500. $300 for the television set and $100 apiece for each eyebrow he lost.
Each eyebrow?
Yeah, didn't you notice? They were singed off.
Well, but I saw him in the backyard this morning. He had his eyebrows.
They're falsies.
Right. Well, don't worry, he won't really sue.
Mrs. Cooper.
Yes, Katie?
I don't want to bother you, but there's a strange man in our front yard. Look out the window.
Uh-oh, George, it's a process server.
Now, there you go, jumping to conclusions. What reason have you got for thinking he's a process server?
I don't know, maybe it's because he's up in a tree looking at us through binoculars.
Where? Yeah, he is a process server.
Sure.
If he serves that summons today, we'll have to go to court next week. And there goes our vacation.
Oh, no, we can't let this happen.
Oh, dear, he's coming to the front door.
Oh.
Tell him we're not home, Katie.
That seems like cheating.
Look, we'll face the music when we get back from our vacation. I'd rather go to court on the bank's time.
Yeah, all right. All right, Katie, go ahead.
Oh, what'll I say?
Tell him we've left. We're spending a fortnight in the Catskills. Come on, George, let's hide.
Yes?
Hiya, sister.
Yes?
I'd like to see Mr. and Mrs. George Cooper.
They're not here.
Don't give me that, sister.
I tell you, they left this morning for a catnap in the Portskills.
Huh?
A nightcap in the Portskills.
You're a fast waker, sister. Boss leaves this morning, already you're at the brandy.
I never touch a drop. Do I, Mrs. Cooper?
Of course not.
Aha!
Shut the door, Katie. Oh, I'm sorry, George.
You two really use your heads. Now, we'll never get rid of the guy. There he is again.
Oh, don't open the door, Katie. Who is it?
It's only me, the Western Union boy.
That's the same guy. He didn't even disguise his voice. What do you want?
I got a telegram for Mr. and Mrs. George Catskill. Oh, darn it.
Sorry, they're spending a fortnight in the Coopers.
Well, I'll never outsmart these folks. I will give up and go away. I know you're there, Mrs. Cooper, and I'll get you if it takes all year.
Oh, fine. Our vacation will be 2 glorious weeks in the front hall.
Peek out the window, Katie, and see what he's doing.
No, he'll see you. Let me peek through the keyhole.
All right.
Now be quiet now, Liz. Don't rattle a doorknob with your head.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Oh, do you see anything?
Yeah.
What?
Another eye looking back at me.
Oh, fine.
I know. Katie, get me a fountain pen. I'll squirt him in the eye.
Now stop it, Liz.
Oh, you ought to see that eye, George. It's a mean, evil little pig eye.
I've got an idea. Katie, you peek through the keyhole while we sneak out the back.
Yeah.
As long as you can see his eye, we know he's still there.
Okay.
Oh, you're so smart, George. Come on.
He's still there. I can see that awful-looking eye.
Do you think we'll get away with it?
Sure. Now open the door quietly.
All right.
Now, let's make a run for the car.
Back from the Catskills, are ready?
Oh, darn it.
Here's a pretty blue summons for you. I'll see you in municipal court Monday morning at 9 o'clock.
What a dirty trick. Tell me, how could you be here at the back door and looking through the keyhole and the front door at the same time?
Oh, it ain't easy. I taped the mirror over the keyhole. That was your own eye you was looking at.
Shake hands with Pig Eye Cooper. George, you're just being silly. Why don't you get a lawyer?
What do I need a lawyer for? I can handle my own defense.
George, you and I both know you did ruin Frank Stone's television set.
Oh, fine. My prize witness is turning state's evidence.
No, I'm not. I'll say anything you want me to say.
I only want the truth. I want you to tell the court what happened in your own words. Here.
What's this?
I've written it out for you to memorize.
Well, let's see what my own words look like. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, on the night of June 16th, 1949, at approximately 7:35 p.m., my husband George and I paid what we thought would be a friendly call on our neighbors. Wait a minute, George, what's this next thing? Flutter eyelids at jury.
Oh, I wrote in some directions for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, here I sob quietly, and let's see, further down, I sneer at Frank Stone. Mm. Yeah.
Now, remember, those directions are as important as the testimony.
Uh-huh.
I want you to memorize them just as carefully.
Oh, I will, George, and I'll put on my long eyelashes. They have a wonderful flutter. It kicks up a breeze.
Order! Order in the court.
You have everything straight, Liz?
Well, don't worry, George. I memorized the whole thing.
The court will now hear the case of Stone versus Cooper. Who's the attorney for the plaintiff?
I'm acting as my own attorney, Your Honor.
Copycat.
Please. You say you're acting as your own attorney?
Did you notice the judge's voice? I think he's taken an instant dislike to Frank Stone.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. Are you ready, Frank?
All set, Harry.
He doesn't hold a grudge long, does he?
Just my luck. They're friends.
Yeah.
Proceed. All your witnesses.
Thank you. I'd like to call my only witness, me. Is Frank Stone present? Yes, sir. Take the stand. Thank you. Where do you live? Oh, come, man. Where do you live?
You're confusing the witness. You better sit down and rest your case a minute, Frank. Counsel for the defense. Are you ready?
I'm acting as my own attorney, Your Honor, and as my witness, I'd like to call Mrs. George Cooper.
Take the stand, Mrs. Cooper.
Thank you, Your Honor.
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but truth, tell you? Well, do you?
Do I what?
Didn't you hear me?
Yes, I heard you.
What did I say?
You said... And I don't know whether I did or not.
Silence. Young lady... I said, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you?
Well, why did you say it so fast?
I don't know. That's the way they do it in the movies. Now, do you?
I do.
Proceed.
Now, Mrs. Cooper, tell us what happened in your own words.
Well... On the night of June 16th, 1949, at approximately 7:35 p.m., my husband George and I...
Oh, it was in the evening then?
Yes.
Proceed.
Where was I?
You were saying that your husband George...
Oh, yeah. My husband George and I... George and I... On the night of June 16th, 1949, at approximately 7:35 p.m., my husband George and I paid a friendly call on our neighbors, the Stones. We had been in their house only a few minutes when Mr. Stone suggested we watch television, flutter eyelids at jury, and a few minutes later...
Wait a minute. What's this about flutter eyelids at jury?
Nothing, Your Honor. She's a little nervous. What's the matter with you?
Well, I can't help it. That's the way I memorized it.
Oh.
When you've got your signal straight, we can continue.
Where was I?
Mr. Stone suggested you watch television, flutter eyelids at jury.
Oh, yes. Mr. Stone suggested we watch television. Watch television. On the night of June 16th, 1949...
Hold us, start from where you left off.
What comes next, George?
Mr. Stone begged George...
I object. He knows the story better than she does.
You keep quiet. Mr. Stone begged George to help him with the set, and George said, please do not force me to do this, as I am not a qualified television repair man. In spite of this, Mr. Stone insisted pull skirt up over both knees and wink knowingly at George.
You leave her alone. Young lady, I will give you one more chance to give your story. Just tell us what happened.
Yes, Your Honor. On the night of June 16th...
You already told us that!
George, he's confusing me.
Kindly address your remarks to the bench.
Well, it was like this, bench.
Most confusing case I have ever heard. All of you, step into my chambers. I have a television set there, and we can recreate what actually happened. There's the set.
Say, that's just like ours.
All right, show me what happened.
Well, first we took the back off, like this.
Yes, and then what happened?
Well, he told
me... He insisted on going into the back of the set.
One at a time, please.
Oh, they're too excited, Judge. I'll show you what happened. Now, you be Frank Stone, and I'll be George.
All right.
Now, get in back of the set and take hold of that wire on the left.
Nothing happened.
Well, now take hold of the wire on the right with your other hand.
All right. Still nothing happened.
See?
I don't think you have much of a case, Stone.
But that isn't the way it was at all.
It isn't?
It is, too. Oh, with one little exception. The set was turned on like this. And so we say aloha to the judge's eyebrows and reluctantly set sail for the city jail. George, why don't you put out that light and go to sleep?
I'm not a bit sleepy.
It's late.
I can't help it. I'm not a bit sleepy.
If you yawned, that would mean you were sleepy, wouldn't it?
I guess so.
I bet I can make you yawn.
I'll bet you can't.
I'll bet I can.
Doesn't affect me.
Oh.
You're wasting your time.
Yawn, yawn, yawn. Y-A-W-N. Think of a dog yawning. Think of a baby yawning. Think of yourself yawning. Yawn, yawn.
It isn't a... affecting me at all.
Oh, good night, baby.
From June of 1949, it's been Lucille Ball starring in My Favorite Husband. When we return, one of America's favorite sleuths, Ellery Queen, with One Diamond, as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Ellery Queen was first heard on radio in June of 1939 on CBS. Near the end of each mystery drama, the action was stopped and a panel of so-called armchair detectives tried to guess the solution. The armchair panel was generally drawn from the ranks of entertainment, literature, journalism, or politics. The show was heard for a season on CBS on Sundays, then moved Saturdays to NBC, 1941 through 1944. The program then returned to CBS to run from 45 until 47, finishing up its run 1947 through 48 on ABC. Queen was portrayed throughout as a modern-day Sherlock Holmes with a fine eye for clues. He usually entered the cases at the request of his father, the inspector. Carlton Young played Queen during the early NBC run. Sidney Smith took part in the fall of 1943. Return with us now to those fabulous days of yesteryear with Ellery Queen and One Diamond from the 1950s. Another classic show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Ellery Queen. In the interests of a safer American home, a happier American community, a more united state, the American Broadcasting Company and its affiliated stations bring you Ellery Queen, celebrated fighter of crime. As usual, Ellery invites you to match wits with him as he relates the mystery. And before revealing the solution, he gives you a chance to solve it. Tonight, Ellery's guest armchair detective, who will represent you home armchair detectives, is the popular vocalist, Miss Peggy Lee. And now, here's Ellery Queen, your host for the next half hour.
Thank you, Paul Masterson, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we meet Mr. Mark Gallows, who played a very dangerous game. I call it One Diamond. And this is...
Miss Eve Angel, Mr. Queen.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Queen?
Won't you sit down, Miss Angel?
I'd love it.
The notes, Nikki.
Yes, Ellery.
Is this your secretary? Yes, I'm his secretary.
Miss Angel, Miss Porter.
How do you do?
How do you do?
And what can I do for you, Miss Angel?
Mr. Queen, I've come to invite you for the weekend at the home of my employer.
I'm tempted to say, this is so sudden. Isn't there some mistake?
Oh, no. I'm sure, Mr. Queen, you've heard of Mark Gallows.
Mark Gallows? You work for Gallows?
I'm Mr. Gallows' secretary. The Gallows Diamond.
What, Nikki?
The Gallows Diamond, Ellery. It's not been publicly displayed for... How long is it, Miss Angel? 40 or 50 years?
That's the Gallows. You are an efficient secretary, Miss Porter. Aren't you?
I do my little best, Miss Angel.
But I don't get this, Miss Angel. I've never met Mr. Gallows. Why should he invite me for a weekend?
Because I asked him to.
Oh? I'm to be your guest?
In a way.
What, Nikki?
Nothing. I just went...
Will you come?
Yes. Goody, goody, a weekend off.
Oh, no, Nikki. You're coming with me.
For notes, Ellery?
Yes, for notes.
Do come too, Miss Porter, for notes. Friday afternoon, Mr. Queen, at the Riverdale Estate.
Miss Angel.
Yes?
Why did you ask Mr. Gallows to invite me?
See you Friday. Au revoir.
Interesting.
Yes, isn't she?
No, I mean the invitation, Nikki. Of course, this is Gallows doing, not her idea at all.
Want to bet?
Oh, don't be silly, Nikki. There's skullduggery involved.
Is Gallows the type?
Mark Gallows? Don't you know anything about him, Nikki?
Just that he's one of the richest men in America.
He's a misophobe.
A whosophobe?
Afflicted with misophobia, Nikki. Morbid fear of dirt.
Dirt?
Mm-hmm. Gallows is supposed to have a gold-plated washstand in every room he commonly uses so that he can wash his hands on a second's notice.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, that's the story. Buys germicides by the gallon... Picks strange objects up with a specially sterilized tissue.
Oh, must be rough on his wife.
No, fortunately, he's not married. Wonder what's behind this invitation.
A two-legged word spelled E-V-E.
Oh, no, Nikki. She's just bait.
I'll answer right away, Ellery.
Oh, never mind, Nikki. I'll go. Yes? Nobody here. Who is it?
Oh. Ellery, what was that? That sounded just like a show... Ellery, no, but Ellery, you can't.
What are you thinking of, son?
Oh, he's a fool, Inspector.
You're not getting out of this bed, Ellery, and that's that.
But I'm all right, I tell you.
All right.
With a bullet wound in your arm?
It's nothing, just a flesh wound. You heard the doctor.
It's that woman, that's what it is.
Oh, it's not that woman at all, Nikki. It's the whole thing.
You think the attempt on your life is connected with the invitation, son?
When I'm shot at within 2 minutes, Dad? Of course. Somebody followed Eve Angel, guessed her purpose, and tried to rub me out.
But why?
To keep me from going to the Gallows place this weekend, Nikki. which is why I'll be there if I have to go in an ambulance.
And come back in a hearse. Ellery, be sensible.
You're still shaky, son.
I'm going.
You're not. I won't let you, Ellery. By gosh, I'm still your father, and you'll do as I say.
And this is the gold room, Mr. Queen.
Really royal, Miss Angel.
That is a washstand, isn't it?
Yes, Miss Porter. By the way, when you meet Mark, I'd suggest you don't offer to shake hands. Germs, you know.
Germs.
I suppose we all have them.
Yes. Let's go out onto the terrace. I want you to meet Mark's other house guests.
Oh, I think that'd be delightful.
We have a sort of international house here this weekend, Mr. Queen.
Oh, really?
Mark and I are Americans. Sidney Duff Brown, the Englishman. Cornelius Van Cleek of Holland. And Reginald Doss, who's an Anglo-Indian.
Oh.
What's the matter, Mr. Queen?
Oh, nothing, Miss Angel. You bumped my sore arm.
Oh, I am sorry. Shot?
Yes. Shot.
Oh, dear. Now I'll have to be so careful not to let you get romantic, Mr. Queen. by the way, before we go out there, when you meet Mr. Duff Brown, Mr. Van Cleek, and Mr. Doss, could you act just a little mysterious? Just to impress them, you know. The great detective.
Well, would it make you happy, Miss Angel?
Oh, very.
Then I'll do my best.
This is going to be such an exciting weekend.
Shall we go out?
Yes, I think that would be a good idea.
It's right this way. Oh, there they are. Gentlemen?
Ah, Miss Angel again.
With my guests.
George, I didn't know we were going to have any competition.
Miss Porter and Mr. Queen. Mr. Reginald Doss.
How do you do,
my
Mr.
pleasure.
Doss.
Mr. Cornelius Van Cleek.
I'm glad to know you.
And Mr. Sidney Duff Brown.
How do you do,
Mr. Duff Brown?
I'll fix something for you people in a moment.
Miss Porter, is it?
That's right, Mr. Van Cleek. Nicky Porter.
Watch Van Cleek, Miss Porter. He's a lady killer.
Or she thinks he is.
Now, don't mind those fellows. What do you do, Miss Porter? Except the beautiful, I mean.
Oh, I work for Mr. Queen here.
Work for him?
In trade? By George, incredible.
This is an amazing country.
Well, not half so amazing as Nikki, Mr. Dyes. I really don't know what I'd do without her.
Working for Mr. Queen isn't really being in trade, Mr. Duff Brown.
No.
Definitely not. You see, he's Ellery Queen, the famous detective.
Really?
Your drink, Mr. Queen.
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Porter. I forgot yours. What can I get you?
Not a thing, thank you.
But the detective, Mr. Queen, this is exciting.
I quite agree with Mr. Dass. Are you here socially, Mr. Queen?
Or are you after one of us?
Why, Mr. Van Cleek, do you gentlemen have guilty consciences?
Oh, dear, that's Mark. Yes, Mark.
Is that fellow Queen out there?
Yes.
Bring him in here.
Is Mr. Gallows in the habit of referring to all his guests as that fellow, Miss Angel?
Never mind, Nicky. If you gentlemen will excuse us. Back through this terrace door, Miss Angel?
That's right. This way, please.
Miss Angel, there's something very strange going on
will
here.
Will you come this way,
Nicky.
Please? Right in here.
Oh, there you are. Confounded Eve, you've got to do something about Reeves. He put my newspaper on my desk without spraying it first.
I'll discharge him right away, Mark. Here, I'll get you a sterile.
No, don't touch it, Eve. Well, so this is the famous Ellery Queen.
And my secretary, Miss Porter.
How do you do?
And I'm afraid, Queen, we've rather put one over on you.
Have you, Mr. Gallows?
Oh, it does seem such a waste, Mark. He's so attractive.
Then you were bait, Miss Angel. All right, Mr. Gallows, now that you've got me here, what next?
Why, Queen, now you leave.
What?
That's right. He served his purpose, my girl. You'll please leave now, Queen. So?
This way out.
Hurry, Queen. You're going to stand here and let these
people... No, Nicky. Mr. Gallows...
Oh, dear. He's going to be difficult.
There's no difficulty, Eve, that can't be smoothed out with a little money. Send me your bill, Queen, whatever your fee is.
I don't charge fees.
No? What do you live on? Nuts?
I don't know exactly what double-dealing intrigue you've whipped up here, Mr. Gallows, but certain things are fairly obvious.
Are they? This interests me, Queen. What's obvious?
You're the owner of one of the most famous diamonds in the world. You have three house guests, Mr. Duff Brown of England, Mr. Doss of India, and Mr. Van Cleek of Holland. England is the spearhead of the world's diamond trade. India's Maharajas are the world's greatest collectors of precious stones. Holland is the capital of the world's lapidaries. I'd say Duff Brown, Doss, and Van Cleek are here to buy your diamond, Mr. Gallows.
Be quiet. Yes, Mr. Queen?
Why, we're suddenly all politeness.
Why you scheme to have me put in an appearance here, I don't know. But would it interest you, Mr. Gallows, to learn that within minutes of Miss Angel's visit to my home, I was shot at with intent to kill?
Your arm. Mark,
what? Nonsense. That can't have anything to do with me.
Somebody didn't want me to show up here, Mr. Gallows.
You're a writer, aren't you?
Yes.
This is real life. Get out.
Mr. Gallows, you're an idiot. Come on, Nicky.
Excellent, excellent brandy, Mr. Gallows.
Yes, it is excellent.
I'm glad you like it, gentlemen. Now, Eve.
Yes, Mark?
Go out there and close the door and stand in front of it. Keep those long-nosed flunkies of mine away, do you understand?
Mark, you're going to...
Go ahead.
Oh, but I wanted to see it.
Eve, I said get out of here.
All right, Mark. Gentlemen, will you excuse me?
Oh, but...
Oh, no, don't bother to get up, please. Have fun.
Thank you for your advice.
Well, gentlemen.
I have a very odd feeling, Mes Confrères, that this is the great moment.
Hadn't you better have someone lock that door, sir?
My estate is well patrolled, F. Brown. Mr. Das, you don't look very interested.
This is an old story with me, Mr. Gallows.
Is it? Then look at this.
Huh? Around 150 carats, Mr. Gallows.
162 and three quarters, Mr. Vinkley.
Larger than the Porter Roads from Kimberley.
And of just as fine a water, Duff Brown.
May I examine this, Mr. Gallows?
Certainly, Doss, certainly.
Doss, let me see that.
One moment, Mr. Duff Brown.
The Gallows, I am colossal.
My father's wedding gift to my mother. Very sentimental man, my father. His will provided that the stone mustn't be touched for 25 years after my mother's death. Uh-huh. It's been a great trial to me, gentlemen. Very unproductive. Money gathers money. Diamonds gather dust. Does you like it?
Mr. Gallows, it is quite the most superb imitation I have ever seen.
Imitation? I say, Ventrick, stop pushing. By George, it's not genuine.
This is a jest, Mr. Gallows. I have come all the way from Amsterdam.
This is an exact copy. Worthless, of course. But sufficient for you gentlemen to base your bids on.
When may we see the genuine stone, Mr. Gallows?
It won't be exhibited, Van Cleek, until I get what I consider a selling bid, confirmed by the principal for whom you're acting as agent.
I can't say, Mr. Gallows, I feel entirely comfortable. I've never had my integrity questioned before.
Nor I.
I'm sorry. I have to be careful, gentlemen. You force me to show my hand. That fellow Queen, the detective whom I had Miss Angel invite a few days ago for the weekend. Actually, she engaged him in my behalf to check up on you gentlemen.
This is intolerable, Mr. Gallows. What is your meaning?
The Queen came here today to tell me the result of his investigation. He tells me that one of you was a fraud, an imposter.
Imposter?
Yes. An international jewel thief who's here with forged credentials. Can you blame me for being careful? Oh, Eve, you should have seen their faces.
You're so clever, Mark.
Yeah, you think I'm not, huh? Oh, I get a kick out of this sort of thing, Eve, outsmarting them. Hey, you don't know these fellows the way I do, Evie. They're canny traitors. They take their time.
But they won't in this case.
Why, they'll fall all over themselves, proving they're not fakes. Each one will rush to make his bid and present me with confirming authority from his principal. Things are going to hum around here, darling. And I'll bet you I get 20% more for the diamond.
Mark.
What?
Look at this.
Hey, is that charred scrap of paper? What is it?
Take it. Read it.
What's the matter with you? Wait till I spray it.
So you invented the story that one of them is a crook, did you? When, of course, all the time they're all honest men.
I don't know what you're talking about. Where'd you find this, Eve?
Living room fireplace. It just missed getting burned. Of course, it doesn't say much.
Wait a minute. This is the beginning of a letter. Me. I didn't see this.
Neither did I.
Dear Mr. Gallows, we regret that our representative has been delayed. We'll not be able to arrive in the United States until May 15th to inspect the Gallows... Eve, my lie was true. One of them is an imposter. Where's the rest of this, Eve? Talk, will you? The envelope, the rest of the letterhead. Who is this from? Which one does this refer to?
Mark, you'll have another attack.
One of them intercepted the mail this morning. Must have been watching for this very letter. Maybe the rest of the letter's in the fireplace, Eve.
Mark, wait a minute. Wait. I searched the ashes. This is all that was left.
Get Queen on the phone.
But, Mark, he won't come now after...
Get Queen!
Yes, Ellery? Mark Gallows.
Said he'd kept calling me all night, Nicky. What for?
He wouldn't tell me. Said he had to see you and right away.
Did you tell the great Mr. Gallows that Dad and I were out all night on another case?
Yes. Do you want me to call him?
No, Nicky. Anything interesting in the mail this morning?
I haven't finished.
Let's see. Bill, fan letter, special delivery.
Special delivery? I didn't notice it, Ellery.
From Mark Gallows.
From Gallows?
Apparently Mr. Gallows is in a tizzy. Let's see. Dear Mr. Queen, you've got to help me. One of my guests is an imposter.
What?
He used me, Nicky, to scare Das, Duff Brown, and Van Cleek into thinking one of them was an imposter to force a quick sale, and then, by gosh, he found out one of them really is.
Oh, serves him right.
Expose the imposter, protect the diamond till the sale goes through, and, Mr. Queen, I'll pay you 10% of the sales price as a fee.
Don't you dare turn him down. I need a raise.
It's this way. The diamond has been buried on my Riverdale estate for years.
Buried?
I enclose a copy of my original map showing the hiding place. If anything should happen to me...
Oh, darn it. I'll take it. Hello?
Nicky?
Oh, Inspector.
Let me talk to Ellery, will you?
Oh, yes, Ellery. It's for you, Inspector.
Dad? Yes, Dad?
Your friend Mark Gallows.
Gallows? Yes, what's happened?
He's committed suicide.
Suicide?
Mark Gallows?
Hanged himself from a rafter in his barn.
Dad, keep everything the way you found it.
What do you mean?
I'm coming right up there.
For what? I tell you, Ellery committed...
Dad, sight unseen, he was murdered. Mickey, come on.
The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear.
You men, pipe down! Well, son.
Murder.
But Ellery...
I'm sorry, Dad, it's murder.
I don't know how you can say that, Ellery.
Neither do I. Man found hanging from a rafter, not a clue to a second person.
Look at this rope he was hanged with.
What about it? The rope comes from this barn, Ellery.
It's filthy.
It's what?
He has phobia.
That's it, Nicky. Dad, Gallows suffered from a morbid fear of dirt. Now, there were two ropes in this barn. This dirty one here and that clean one hanging over there. Even approaching death, Gallows would have used the clean one if he was going to hang himself.
Huh?
Gallows was strung up, Dad. And almost certainly by one of those three diamond buyers.
The imposter.
Imposter? What imposter?
No doubt about it, Nicky.
No doubt about what?
Well, I'm afraid we're a little ahead of you on this one, Dad. Are Van Cleek, Das, and Duff Brown still here?
Yes.
You better hold them here for a while and keep them out of my way.
Why? What are you going to do?
Dad, you wouldn't believe me if I told you.
I give up. You men.
Yeah?
One of you watch the body, the rest of you come with me.
All right, Joe, you better stay here.
Well, Ellery, what are you going to do?
Look, Mr. Gallows over. Turn around, Nicky.
Oh. What are you looking for?
Gallows sent me a copy of the map. Where would he keep the original? I'd say it's an even bet he carried it on him, Nicky.
In a secret pocket, you mean?
Yes. Or here.
What?
Leather pouch around his waist, next to the skin.
Is it in there?
No. It's empty.
His killer took the map.
Yes.
But how would the killer know?
About the map? Nicky, do you think you can stand a look at Gallows' face?
Well, it's awfully dead-looking.
And dirty. See here, Nicky.
Dirt around his mouth.
I think our diamond hunter tortured Gallows into telling his secret.
By putting dirt in his mouth. His phobia.
Really nasty, Nicky.
Why are you looking at the copy of the map, Ellery? Killer has the original. Must have dug up the diamond.
I know, Nicky, I know. Let's take a look anyway, shall we?
Treasure. Why didn't he put the blasted bauble in a bank vault where it belongs?
I think this is exciting.
There is something gold buggish about it, Nicky. Well, let's see. I think this is it.
What's it?
This tree, Dad. It's our starting place. Here, look at Gallo's map.
Guess so. From this tree, you go due south.
And then due west, and X marks the spot. Wonderful.
Due south, due west. How far? Just says 10 on the first leg and 10 on the second. 10 what? Miles?
Now, don't be sarcastic, Inspector. Not miles or feet or inches either, because then it wouldn't be far enough to cross that brook, and the south leg on the map does cross the brook.
Right, Nicky. Therefore, it must mean yards. Dad, let me have that compass and yardstick, will you?
Here. Yo, sir.
Which is this way. 1 yard, 2, 3...
Hey!
What, Inspector?
Look at this, Nicky.
A sort of trail in the grass.
Ellery, see this trail?
I saw it, Dad. I'm right on it.
Killer's been here before us.
Didn't I tell you, Ellery?
Got it. Come on, Nicky. Here, watch this rope.
Oh, gosh, I'm getting all wet. Buried treasure.
Here's the trail again.
And this is the end of the 10 yards, Dad.
But the trail keeps going, Ellery, in the same direction.
Uh-huh, another yard.
Killer went 11 yards due south. Yeah, and then he turned west.
Two, three,
And parallel your route.
A yard away? I don't understand. How far does the map say you've got to go west, Ellery?
Another 10 yards. 9, 10.
But the killer's trail keeps going, son. To here. Cross that yardstick over.
A catch.
Another yard. Exactly. Again, he went 11 yards instead of 10. Funny. Wait.
What is it, Dad?
Ellery, come here.
Nicky, stand on this spot, the end of the 10 yards west, so we don't lose it.
X marks the spot. Or does it?
What, Dad?
Look here.
Somebody dug here, then filled up the hole.
He found it, son. That map we've been following must be wrong.
Darn it. For sure it must be wrong. After all, he had the original.
Gallus must have deliberately falsified the figures on the map he sent you, Ellery.
I doubt it. Maybe the killer didn't find the diamond. Maybe he was wrong and we're right.
There's only one way to find out, son.
Uh-huh. Well, Nicky, hand me that shovel.
When you strike water, Ellery, let me know.
No sign of anything yet, son.
Not yet, Dad. What? Wait. Here it is.
The diamond?
No. Metal box. Pretty well chewed up, too. Dad, give me a hand up.
Here, son.
Just a rusty old box.
No, I think it's so eaten away it'll give without much trouble.
It's diamond.
Holy smokes, son.
Is that real, Ellery?
It's real, Nicky.
So the killer knocked off old Gallus for nothing. Dug in the wrong place.
Yes. Well, now let's go back to the house and finish this off. And there you have our mystery for tonight. Nicky, would you please introduce our very lovely and charming guest armchair detective for our listeners?
Certainly, Ellery. Ladies and gentlemen, meet Miss Peggy Lee, the popular vocalist who has made Mañana and her Capitol Records album, Rendezvous with Peggy Lee, both of which have set the public humming and dancing.
Welcome, Peggy, to the armchair. Say, you know, it's too bad that we don't have a little more time. Then we could hear you sing one of the songs from that Rendezvous with Peggy Lee album.
Which you did in cooperation with your husband, Dave Barber.
Well, Ellery, right now I'm too nervous to sing anything. I've never been a detective before, and this case tonight has me missing the downbeat, if you know what I mean.
I'm afraid you're just jesting, Peggy. Anyway, what about our case? Tell me, have you figured out who hanged Mark Gallows?
Well, I couldn't say exactly... I couldn't exactly name one person, but I think that Eve Angel had something to do with it because she knew all about his fear of dirt, and I think that she probably was the only one who could intercept the letter that was partly burned, and also that she was the only one who would know about the map, and he may have told her the wrong directions.
To throw her off?
Yeah, I think so.
That's a very interesting deduction, and thank you very much, Peggy Lee. We'll find out in just a moment if your solution is correct.
I will not be held indefinitely. I'm a subject of His Majesty. Will you stop that weeping? You give me a headache.
Oh, but he was so kind to me.
Miss Angel, if you please.
And what's this nonsense about murder, Inspector Queen?
Yes, the man hanged himself.
You said so yourself, sir.
Yes, I did, didn't I, Mr. Darris? You people all throw? All right, go ahead, son.
Unfortunately, Gallo's murderer made a mistake. Mr. Gallows sent me a copy of that map, and by following its directions exactly, I located the spot where he'd buried the Gallows diamond. How did the killer miss it? Well, what were the directions? To go 10-something due south, and then 10-something due west. We assumed that the figure 10 referred to yards, as they did, since by going 10 yards south, and then 10 yards west, we did find the diamond. Then the killer did not take the figure 10 to mean yards, or he'd have found the right spot, too. He took it to mean a different unit of measurement. Nicky, exactly how far did the killer measure?
11 yards instead of 10, each way.
He reads the figure 10 and measures off 11 yards. Now, how can that be? Only if, in the kind of measure he was using, 10 units equal 11 yards. And which unit of measurement is that? The meter.
Meter?
That's right. Meters exceed yards in exactly the proportion of 11 to 10. But that gives us our criminal.
Oh, I do not see
that. Mayor Cleek, you're not alone.
How does that give you your criminal, Mr. Creed?
It tells me, Mr. Das, that the killer of Gallows thinks in terms not of yards, but of meters. Could that be Miss Angel?
Me?
No, it couldn't. Miss Angel is an American, and we use yards, not meters.
So do we in Britain, Mr. Queen.
That's quite true, Mr. Duff Brown. And so do the Hindus, especially one as anglicized as Mr. Reginald Das.
Fortunately for me, sir.
But almost all of continental Europe uses the metric system, including, of course, the Dutch.
Ellery!
Stop it, Van Cleef! Stop it!
You have the advantage of me, Herr Inspector.
And there, ladies and gentlemen, you have the solution to our mystery. Thank you, Peggy Lee, for serving as our guest armchair detective this evening. As mementos of the occasion, I have for you a copy of my latest mystery anthology, The Queen's Awards, 1947, and a subscription to Ellery Queen Mystery Magazine. And here's Mr. Masterson.
Panting, Mr. Q. About next week, I mean.
Suppose I give you a good reason to pant, Paul. Want to meet a movie star?
Are you kidding? Where? Where is she, Ellery?
Nikki.
Yes,
sir. Mind stepping over here, Miss Porter?
Me? What's the matter with you?
Paul, and ladies and gentlemen, I want you to meet Nikki Porter, starlet. This is Ellery Queen saying goodnight till next week, and enlisting all Americans every night and every day in the fight against bad citizenship, bigotry, and discrimination, the crimes which are weakening America.
From the 1950s, it's been Ellery Queen with One Diamond. Well, I'm afraid that's all the time we have today on this edition of Yesteryear, but join us again next week at this time and invite a friend to listen. Together, enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. The comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, I miss you so. Dodio, Voldio, Dodio, Do. Radio, I miss you.
The preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions, all rights reserved. Thank you. KCEA Atherton Redwood City, a broadcast service of the Sequoia Union High School District.
Into my scheme of what bliss is. Then the blow came when she gave her name as Mrs. I guess I'll have to change my plan. I should have realized there'd be another man. I overlooked that point completely until the big affair began. Before I knew where I was at, I found myself upon the shelf, and that was that. I tried to reach the moon, but when I got there, all that I could get was the air. My feet are back upon the ground. I've lost the one girl I found.
This is Bud Pearson, host of the Swing Era, where you'll hear the bands and the singers of that exciting time of the 30s and 40s. The Swing Era, Saturday mornings at 9 Pacific on the home of the big bands, 89.1 KCEA.
Kindly fate directed you to make each dream of mine come true. If it's clear or raining, there is no explaining. Things just happen, and so did you. You came to me from out of nowhere. You took my heart and found it free. Wonderful dreams, wonderful schemes from nowhere made every hour sweet as a flower to me. If you should go back to your nowhere, leaving me with a memory, I'll always wait for your return out of nowhere, hoping you'll bring your love to me. You came to me from out of nowhere. You took my heart and found it free. Wonderful dreams, wonderful schemes from nowhere made every hour sweet as a flower to me. If you should go back to your nowhere, leaving me with a memory, I'll always wait for your return out of nowhere, hoping you'll bring your love to me.
Where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea. I'm a rowdy dowdy, that's me. She's a hi-hat baby, that's she. So I never take her where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea. Every Sunday afternoon, we forget about our cares, rubbing elbows at the Ritz with those millionaires. When I take my sugar to tea, I'm as ritzy as I can be. 'Cause I never take her where the gang goes when I take my sugar to tea.
Hi, this is Bud Pearson, host of the Swing Era, where you'll hear the bands and the singers of that exciting time of the 30s and 40s. Saturday mornings at 9 Pacific on the home of the big bands, KCEA. We'll see you then, and remember, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. The Swing Era. Saturday mornings at 9 Pacific on the home of the big bands, 89.1, KCEA.
The end of the day in a dream that's divine. My prayer is a rapture in blue, with the world far away, and your lips close to mine. Tonight, while our hearts are aglow, oh, tell me the words that I'm longing to know. My prayer and the answer you give, may they still be the same, for as long as we live, that you'll always be there at the end of my prayer.